going to begin by asking you to bear with me this morning. I'm fighting a bit of a sinus infection. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, as we examine your holy word, we pray that your Spirit would give us understanding. Not simply that we would have more knowledge of what the text says, but that your Spirit would work change through our lives through what your text says. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that does not know you, that through the words of grace and mercy found here in this passage, that your Spirit would draw men and women to yourself. And that you would demonstrate that you are a God mighty to save. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. We've been dealing the last several times that I've preached with the concept of missions and evangelism. A few weeks ago, we dealt with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Which shows that our message is that we are to be reconciled to God. Here in Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul offers 5 propositions from the Old Testament concerning the nature of missions. But in order to really understand what he's doing with these propositions in Romans chapter 10, we need to understand the context of the entire problem of Romans 9 through 11. And in order to understand Romans 9 through 11, we really have to look briefly at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is often described as the jewel of the New Testament. Almost every verse of this chapter is packed with promises of God upon his believer. And the chapter begins by stating that there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The chapter ends in verse 39 by saying that nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. We have fantastic promises such as Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. We have the statements made in verses 31 and 32. If God be for us, who can be against us? And the obvious answer to that question is nobody. The promise made in verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If you're a believer this morning, the promises found in Romans chapter 8 are for you. But if you've carefully read your Bible beginning with the Old Testament, there's a problem with taking these promises in Romans chapter 8 seriously. The Bible, especially the Old Testament, is filled with promises for God's people. The Old Testament, towards the end of the book of Deuteronomy, describes a national restoration for Israel like has never been seen in Earth's history. The books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel promise a restored nation with a Davidic king ruling on a throne forever. There are promises of national salvation, a physical blessing for the nation of Israel, and full restoration of the nation itself. And so if you seriously have read the promises in Romans chapter 8, the natural response is that God didn't keep his promises to the Jewish people. And if that's the case, how is God going to keep his promises in Romans chapter 8 to me? And thus, Romans chapters 9 through 11 attempts to strengthen the arguments made about the promises of God by speaking of the promises made to Israel. And thus, Paul's thesis for these three chapters is found in chapter 9, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, not as though the word of God has had no effect. And he's going to argue in the next several chapters that the promises made to Israel are indeed for Israel. And that there will be a restoration made for Israel. And it's so great that Romans chapter 11 ends in verses 26 and
27.
And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, who shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them when I take away their sins. So there's coming a point of time in the future where God is going to do a massive work in the hearts of the Jewish people. He's going to draw them unto himself. And he's going to keep all of the promises that he made to them in the past. But what about the Jewish people who are living right now? And not simply the Jewish people who are living right now. What about the Gentiles who have yet to hear right now? And this is the argument that Paul is going to deal with in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 17.
这就是保罗在罗马书第十章从第八到第十七节在这里辩论的。
And what the Apostle Paul does here is he links together several Old Testament quotations.
那么保罗在这里把很多旧约的圣经节都连在一起。
And he uses these Old Testament quotations to explain the spread of the gospel throughout the world.
他用这些旧约的这些圣经节呢，来继续的讲福音的真理。
And so we begin in verse 8. Our first proposition is that the gospel is accessible to those who hear. And this is what Scripture says. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So this expression here, this quotation, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, is a quotation of Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 14. Let's turn there quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 14. That's Deuteronomy 30:14.
30章第14节.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14.
30章14节.
Moses is giving a final charge to the people. And he's telling the Israelite people that they are to love God with all of their heart. And here's what he says in verse 14. The word is very nigh unto you, in your mouth, in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, that they you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God shall bless you in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So Moses is preaching a form of a gospel message to the people of Israel. And he says to the people of Israel that the most important thing that they are to do is to love God, and if they do so, they can remain in the land. And this word, this message, is near to them. It's in their mouths and in their hearts that they might do it. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, the Apostle Paul explains this concept that the word is near to them, what it means to them here in the New Testament. And so this word near here is a word of proximity. It's accessible. It's close to them. This word is what he says, the word of faith which we proclaim. And this is what this message is, this word of faith, verse
9.
If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is the essence of the Christian gospel. This is the word that the Apostle Paul says is near to you. The message is that confession of the Lordship of Christ. And that belief and trust in his death and his resurrection for the removal of sins. If you do that, you will be saved. And he says in verse 10, explaining this further, he describes belief as an action that happens into heart, in the heart. And that confession is something that happens outwardly. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so what the Apostle Paul is arguing is that this gospel is nigh to those who have heard it, to do it. So the gospel, first of all, is accessible to those who hear. Second proposition. The gospel is not ethnically limited. Verses 11 and 12. For the scripture says, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. So here is a quotation of Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Let's turn over there quickly. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Beginning in verse 14. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, you that rule the people that which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, shall not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth shall not make haste, or shall not be ashamed. The people that were in the southern kingdom of Judah during the time of Isaiah, they were not the most godly of people during the time of Israel's history. Idolatry was rampant during this time. There was even a time during this time where the altar of the Lord in the temple was moved and replaced by a pagan altar. And so the people of Israel, the Lord says, has made a covenant with death. Because of their sin, death is coming. But He does not leave them without hope. In verse 16, there is a foundation laid in Zion. There's this cornerstone laid. There's this Davidic king who will one day come to rule Zion. And he that believeth in him shall not be ashamed. So in verse 11 of chapter 10 of Romans, when Paul says, for the scripture says, whoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. He's speaking of this hope of Israel, this hope of Zion. And he gives two evidence that there won't be any shame. In verse 12. First of all, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. When it comes to a person's position before God, it does not matter whether a person is Jewish, whether they are Caucasian, whether they are black, whether they are Chinese, whether they are Japanese, whether they are from the Philippines or Hawaii. The gospel is not limited by ethnic boundaries. Because the hope of Zion, the hope for the Jewish people, is the same as the hope for the Gentile people. Mainly the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and who rose again. The second evidence is found in verse 12 as well. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It says that the Lord is rich to all who call upon him, and therefore we know from verse 9 that these people are those who are saved. There's richness of blessings from God to believers. Now let me be clear, this does not mean that if you are a believer, that automatically means you are going to be healthy and wealthy and successful. But elsewhere in the scriptures is described the blessings that are bestowed upon believers. There's the conquering of sin in Romans chapter 6. There's the sealing and the indwelling of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1. There is the adoption into the body of Christ that's described in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you're a believer, you're described as being a son of God. As a joint heir with Christ. And it does not matter whether you are Jew or a Gentile. Because the gospel is not ethnically limited. Next proposition. The gospel is universally available. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a quotation of Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Joel chapter 2 describes a number of judgments that's going to occur in the future. This verse in Joel chapter 2 is specifically applied to the time in the future when the earth is going to be under the great judgment of God. Look at what happens in verse 31. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so during this time of judgment, there's massive plagues, massive famines. There's great judgment upon the earth. There's huge amounts of war and death. In the midst of the judgment, though, there is still hope. And the prophet Joel describes that hope, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. It's universally available during judgment. And so the Apostle Paul is arguing in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that this gospel is universally available today. In other words, if you've heard the message of the truth this morning, that Christ died for your sins and He rose again the third day for you, and if you call out to the Lord in mercy because of this message, Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done in your life. The gospel is available to you, and you can be saved this morning. But there's a problem if the gospel is universally available. It's available to everyone who hears it. And so Paul describes this dilemma in verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Belief is prerequisite to calling. How can they believe if they have not heard? If somebody has never heard the gospel, then how is it that they can believe the gospel? How shall they hear without a preacher or a herald, someone to tell them? And how can they herald or preach without being sent? And so we thus ask the question. Are believers sent? If we read the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, where Christ himself does the sending. He says, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so the gospel is universally available, and believers are sent by the Lord in order to carry the gospel to the world. Let's keep looking at what the words of the Apostle Paul say. Verse 15, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. So here in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, we have a quotation of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 52, begin to read in verse 4. Thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. My name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bring good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reign.
无辜欺压他们。耶和华说，我的百姓既是无价被掳去，如今我在这里做什么呢？耶和华说，辖制他们的人呼叫我的名，整天受亵渎，所以我的百姓必知道我的名。到那日他们必知道说这话的就是我。看哪、啊、是我，那报佳音传平安，报好信传救恩的，对西安说，你的神作王了。这人的脚登山何等佳美。
The problem of the Jewish people,
那么犹太人的问题是,
has been for many years that they have been ruled by others.
在很多年里呢, 他们都是被别人管辖。
And the rulers throughout the years have been anything but kind.
那么管辖他们的人呢, 除了对他们好以外, 做尽了很不好的事。
They've been persecuted.
他们被逼迫。
They've been murdered in the Holocaust.
他们在
They were destroyed by the Romans. They were decimated by the Babylonians and the Assyrians. And so the good news that's being proclaimed here in Isaiah chapter 52 is that the hope of Israel is that no longer will they be ruled by outside nations. But that they will be ruled by God Himself. And so the people are described who carry this message. The individuals who carry this message are described as having beautiful feet.
那么这个传这个喜讯的人呢，这里说到他们的脚踪是何等的佳美。
And thus Paul's point in Romans chapter 10 verse 15 is the gospel that's proclaimed is proclaimed by individuals.
那么在这里保罗说到第十章，他说到那么福音是被每一个人去传出去的。
And so verse 16 states the problem. If the gospel is spread by individuals, verse 16 says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. An individual's preaching does not necessarily mean that those who hear will believe.
那么每一个传福音的人，你们要意识到，不是说所有的人听了就会信。
Sometimes they will.
有些时候，有些人就会信。
But usually, those who hear the gospel, especially those who have heard it for the first time.
那么经常的呢，是那些第一次听到福音的人。
Will walk away from it and reject it at a time.
他们可能会走开，不愿意去听。
And so here he quotes Isaiah chapter 53 verse 1, and this is, we don't need to turn there for the moment.
那么下面这个他又讲到以赛亚书53章的经节。
But Isaiah chapter 53 describes vividly the suffering servant.
以赛亚书53章讲到这位受苦难的仆人。
A vivid description of Christ on the cross several hundred, if not thousand years before Christ was even on this earth. And he says, Lord, who has believed our report? Most have rejected that message.
那么很多的人呢，都拒绝了这个消息。
And here he ends in verse 17, where he started in verse 8. The prerequisite to faith is hearing.
第八节开始的，在这里第十七节那么结束。
And he concludes in verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
十七节讲到这个结论，信道是从听道来的，听道是从基督的话来的。
This message really is applicable to everyone sitting in this room. If you're here this morning, and there's come a point in time in your life where you've realized your sinfulness before God, and you've called upon the Lord because of what He has done for salvation, then it is your responsibility as an individual to be sure that this message that you yourself believed in is proclaimed here in the Twin Cities of Minnesota, that is proclaimed in China, that is proclaimed in various parts of Africa, that is proclaimed in South America and in Europe, that is proclaimed all throughout the world. We should not be so geographically limited as to think that this gospel is for us here at this time in the Twin Cities alone. Which means that we need to be praying regularly for those who are on the field sharing the gospel. We need to be willing to financially commit to support people who are out there spreading the gospel. And at some point in time, we also must be willing to go and even be willing to send our children. Into a field where they will never have financial success. Where they will always be dependent upon others for their daily living. But where they are carrying the message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. Or perhaps you're here this morning, and you have never placed your faith and trust in Christ for salvation. As Paul says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The gospel message is simple. Christ died, taking the judgment for your sin, so you don't have to. He rose from the grave, proving that that sacrifice actually took place. And you can trust in Him to take away your sins. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, our responsibility as seen outlined in your word is clear. That we are to be people who are called out by your name, who have been washed clean by the blood of your Son. And Father, we are to carry that message of grace which we have received ourselves.
神啊，我们是要带着你所赐给我们的这样的一个信息。
That we may help others.
我们可以去帮助别人。
That we may simply be one beggar telling another one where he may find bread.
那么我们可能就是那位去求你才找到这个饼的。
Father, there is mercy in your cross.
主啊，在你的十字架面前有怜悯。
And I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that has never submitted themselves at the foot of the cross, that your Spirit would draw them to yourself. That they might submit before you in faith and obedience. We pray in your Son's precious name. Amen. Please rise.